Hey y'all, it's Bo Haig. Thank you so much for listening to this message today. If you have questions, please contact us at 580-216-6427. And we hope that God uses this message to change your life.
Well, today, as you can kind of see, today we're going to be doing something that maybe some of you have never done. And what that is we are going to take the Lord's Supper together. Many of you guys have taken the Lord's Supper, but many of you haven't. And so today we're going to get to hear about why we take the Lord's Supper. Again, so many churches do it. Almost every church does it. Obviously, as a Christian, we are called to do that. And so we're going to talk about why we do that. And again, while it's a time, and I grew up in a traditional church, and most of the time, if not all the time, it was a time where it was real, you know, quiet and meditative and all that. And that is what we're going to do. But we're also here to celebrate. Amen? And so again, some people walk in, oh crap, I'm going to get to sleep through this message because it's boring. Now listen, some of you guys need to hear this. It's not that we sit here today to mourn the death of our Savior. We come to remember the life that he lived and how he rose from the dead. Amen? And so again, some of you guys are like, well, you know, I've been through this all my life. Listen, hopefully today you will learn more about why we take the Lord's Supper, and you will begin to celebrate that today. And so that's what we're going to do. And I want to do that by answering six questions, and then we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. The first one is this. What is the Lord's Supper? I mean, what is it? Again, some of you guys are new to church, and we praise God that you're here. Some of you guys, again, have never taken the Lord's Supper with a church at all. So you're going, whoa, what is all this? Here, listen, let me explain what the Lord's Supper is. The Lord's Supper is one of two ordinances. And again, that's a big churchy word. But an ordinance is this. An ordinance is a command that Jesus Christ has given us to do. And there are two ordinances that our church takes part in. The first one is baptism, right? I mean, Jesus said, follow my example. And so we follow his example by being baptized and showing people that, again, we know Jesus Christ and we want to follow him in our lives. The second one is the Lord's Supper. And again, you say, what's the Lord's Supper? Well, the Lord's Supper is a symbolic act of obedience, just like baptism. And what we do is in the Lord's Supper, we as the church, we come together, we take some bread and we take some juice or, you know, what's significant or symbolic of wine. We take the bread, we take the juice, and we remember what Christ has done for us. And so that's what the Lord's Supper is. Well, number two is this. Why is it called the Lord's Supper? Again, basic questions. I love basic questions. I love being a practical preacher because, again, a lot of people assume, a lot of churches, a lot of preachers assume that everybody knows what you're talking about. But not everybody knows what you're talking about. So why is it called the Lord's Supper? Well, it's a symbolic taking of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. Let me give you the verses. Luke chapter 22, I'm going to read in Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 20. Look at it on the screen with me. Jesus is getting ready to be betrayed. He's getting ready to be crucified. And he wants to spend his last meal with the men that he loved the most, his disciples. And so the disciples get this meal ready. And then this is where we pick up the story. Listen to what it says. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, again, I want to stop right there. You say, well, okay, Bo, there's some fancy words in there. It says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover. And you say, well, what's the Passover? Well, let me explain that to you as well. The Passover meal was a symbolic meal that the Israelites would take in remembrance of getting set free from Egypt. Do you remember this? In Exodus chapter 12, Egypt had taken control of the Israelites and they were in slavery for hundreds of years. And then Moses led them out of slavery, right? Well, in the midst of that, Pharaoh says, well, I'm not going to let you guys go. Remember? Pharaoh, oh, let my people go. You remember that song? It's a great song. Great song. Very spiritual. But here's the deal. Pharaoh says, hey, I'm not going to let the people go. So what does God do? God says, I'm going to put some plagues on the Egyptians to show them that they can't mess with God, right? And so that's what he did. Well, the last plague was the plague of the firstborn. And again, you say, well, what's that mean? Well, God, in his judgment of Pharaoh, promised that if Pharaoh didn't let their people go, that he was going to kill every firstborn child and animal in the whole nation of Israel. And so here's the thing. Moses was instructed. He said, okay, now the Lord instructed Moses. He said, Moses, now I want you to go tell all the Israelites and warn everybody that if you will take a lamb and you will take its blood and you will put it on the doorpost of your house, then the death angel, again, the death angel that's going to come and kill all the firstborn will pass over your house, right? Does that make sense? And so here's what they did. They put all the blood over their houses. The ones that did that, the death angel passed over and didn't kill the firstborn in that home. But the ones that didn't, including Pharaoh, they lost their firstborn child. Because that was one of the plagues. And so again, you say, well, what's all that mean? Well, this was a foreshadowing of what Jesus was going to do when he shed his blood so that we can be set free from our sin. And so again, you say, what's the Passover? They celebrated that event by taking a meal every year, and they still do. They still do to this day. Well, let's pick it up. In verses 16 through 20, it says this, "For I tell you," and Jesus is talking here, and he says, "For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in," I will not eat it again, the Lord's Supper, "I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And then he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This is the cup. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.'" And again, you're saying, okay, well, what's all that mean? Again, this is the last supper that Jesus took before he was betrayed. And at the end of that, he uses in verse 2, he says, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was poured out for you." And you say, okay, but what's this new covenant that Jesus is talking about? And again, I know some of this is kind of like, you know, too studious for some of you guys. And it is for me too. Sometimes I get bored. I'm just that way. And I'm thinking, I feel like I'm lecturing everybody today. But I want you to realize what you're doing before you do it. And so that's why I'm teaching you this. And you say, okay, but what was the new covenant that Jesus was talking about? Well, let me explain that. The old covenant in the Old Testament, listen, the old covenant was with Abraham and Moses. And what that old covenant was when Jesus, or when God said to Moses, he said, hey, if you will get the people to sacrifice a lamb and give it to the priest, and the priest will take it to the Holy of Holies inside the temple, and they will take the blood, and that will be the sacrifice for your sins. Okay? That's how they got right with God. They took a lamb, they sacrificed it, they took it into the temple, and they shed its blood so that the sins would be forgiven of the people in the Old Testament. Well, when Jesus came, he changed all that. Amen? Jesus came and he said, the new covenant is this. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm the perfect Lamb of God. And once and for all, I'm going to shed my blood as an ultimate sacrifice for your sins. Amen? And so you say, well, what's the new covenant? The new covenant is what Jesus did for us when he shed his own blood so that we could be set free. And he says, this is the new covenant. And again, so you're saying, okay, so the bread's significant of his body that was broken, and the blood was significant of the blood that he shed. That's exactly right. And so again, that's what the new covenant is talking about. Well, here's question number 3. How often should we take the Lord's Supper? Now again, in different churches, maybe they take it every Sunday. That's great. And in some churches, they maybe take it once a month. Here's what we believe about this. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. The Bible doesn't say, hey, take this every week. It doesn't say take it every month. It doesn't say take it every year. And so here's what we've done as a church. We desire to remember the Lord's Supper and take it as the Lord leads us to. I mean, again, here's the thing that we've talked about as a church. At Thousand Hills, for us, it's not about the amount of times that we do it. It's not about, you know, the amount of times that we do it. It's about the motive of our heart and the remembrance of what he has done for us. And now here's the thing that we don't want it to become. We don't want it to become a pious ritual that we lose the significance and then we go, okay, I'm taking my bread today. Thank you, Lord. Blah, blah, blah. You see what I'm saying? And so we take it as the Lord leads us. Number four is this. What are we to remember? What are we to remember when we take the Lord's Supper? Well, Jesus wants us to remember his sacrifice that he made on the cross. Listen to Paul's words in 1 Corinthians 11. It says this, "For I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you." And he's going to recount the Lord's Supper. Listen to what it says. "The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" And you say, "But what are we supposed to remember, Bo?" Well, it tells us right here, there are two things that we're going to remember today. We're going to remember that he died and that he rose. Actually, three things. He died, he rose, and that he's returning someday. Amen? And so you say, what's that? I mean, again, that's what we remember when we take the Lord's Supper. Number five is this. Who can take the Lord's Supper? Who can take it? Again, is it for everybody? Well, the answer is no. Number one is this, and you say, well, I don't understand this. I'm going to explain it. Number one is this. The Lord's Supper is for believers. And you say, well, what's a believer? That is a person who has given their life to Jesus Christ. A person that hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ, this has no meaning to anybody that hasn't given their life to Jesus Christ because they don't trust in him. And so again, for us, we believe, and the Bible teaches us that we give and we partake of the Lord's Supper once we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. And you say, well, Bo, how do I give my life to Jesus Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. Here's the thing. Jesus came to die on the cross so that you can be forgiven. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And so again, maybe you're here today and you're saying, "I don't know Jesus Christ personally." Today, you can come to know him. Even in your seat, even right now, even as we partake of the Lord's Supper, you can give your life to Jesus. And so maybe that's something you want to do today. Again, we want to discuss that with you further as well. So it's for believers. Number two is this. If you're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, and everybody needs to listen to this, whether you're a Christian or not. If you're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, a believer that wishes to take the Lord's Supper has to be right with God. They have to be right with God. And you say, well, what's that mean? Well, Paul goes on to describe it in 1 Corinthians 11. Listen to what it says in verses 27 through 29. It says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself." And you say, well, what's all that mean? Well, here's the truth. If you are here today and you know Christ, but you're not living a life that is honoring him, and you have deliberately been living in sin, then you need to confess that sin before you take part in the Lord's Supper. Does that make sense? Now, again, God's not saying, hey, only perfect people who have never sinned can partake of the Lord's Supper. None of us are perfect. But here's the thing. God wants you to come before him today, and he wants you to judge your heart today, confess your sin so that you can be right with him and partake and remember what he has done for you. Now, again, I would rather judge myself and get right with God and confess my sin than be judged by the Lord. Amen? And if you partake of the Lord's Supper today and you know you're living in a deliberate sin, guess what? God is going to judge you. God's going to judge you. He will judge me just like he judges you. And you say, "Bo, I don't know all the sins that I have committed. How do I confess all those?" Just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, I don't know all the sins that I've committed, but I give them all to you, and I need you to forgive me of all the sins that I don't know about and the sins that I do. Again, it's as easy as that. Jesus Christ said in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he will be faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's the cool thing about God. God wants to forgive you. I mean, some of you guys are here today and you're thinking, he can't forgive me of what I've done. I mean, I've done too much stuff. I've sinned way too much. No, listen, Jesus' blood on the cross has covered all of your sins. Again, some of you guys are like, crap, I can't partake of this Lord's Supper. I've sinned. Listen, join the crowd. We've all sinned, but God is gracious and he wants to forgive us of our sins. And so all we have to do is confess. Okay? And so again, you say, well, okay, but what's going to take place today? Well, first of all, here's what I want to do. I want us to take a moment so that you can confess your sin. Now, again, you're not going to do this in front of people. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Matt's going to play a song, and as he's playing this song, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. The Bible says, again, what Paul said right there, he said is he wants you to examine your heart. He wants you to look inside of yourself and say, okay, God, what is it that is keeping me from a true fellowship with you? What is it that I need to confess so that I can be right with you? And so maybe you need to ask yourself and ask the Lord to reveal that to you. Even in the midst of the song as it's playing, listen, just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what is it? What sin is in my life? Reveal that to me. Examine my heart so that I can be truly right before you. And so I want you just to take a minute. As you listen to this song, just pray and just say, okay, Lord, I confess. Maybe you did something, to your wife. Maybe you did something to your brother. Maybe you did something to your job. Maybe, you've sinned. I don't know how you've sinned, but we've all sinned and we all need to confess. So just take a minute. Let's pray together. Lord, we just come to you and I thank you for the opportunity to take part in the Lord's Supper today. And for those that may be here today that, again, like all of us, we need to examine our lives and we need to give you our sins so that you can wash us clean. I pray that has taken place right now. And Lord, for those of us, all of us, that maybe are living in a sin that we know we do it every day, Lord, I pray that we would repent of our sin, not just confess it today, but that we would say, okay, Lord, I'm tired of living in that sin. I want to turn from that sin, and I want to begin to live to honor you. And so repent. Maybe we need to repent today. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to remember what you've done for us, and we pray that you would bless this time. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. And then Jesus took the cup, and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. Well, let's close in a word of prayer today. Lord, we just thank you, and we do give thanks, and we give you praise today for what you've done in our lives. Lord, we thank you that we can come today and not only remember the sacrifice that you made, but celebrate the life that you have given us. And so, Lord, we just give that to you, and we thank you so much. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen.
Thank you again for listening to this message. And we hope to see you every Sunday at the Woodward Livestock Auction at 10:30.
Daddy was a cowboy, hard as a rock. Mama, she was quiet.